We start tonight a lesson on Philemon. Not too often do we have just a one-chapter book in the Bible. And we will do two lessons on this. Next week will be a little different because we're going to look at some of the things that we can learn, some examples, and things that we can apply to our lives from the lesson that is presented in Philemon. And tonight we're going to look at some of the other points that we can get from the lesson and hopefully introduce some characters that are found in this book that will help us as we study. So before we read the lesson, I believe that when we look at this book, we can see that it is, there's three things in it. We can find that there is Christian courtesy. And I believe that there's a good example in that of the courtesy that Paul shows and tries to encourage others to have. And as Christians, we need to realize how valuable of an asset that is in our lives to be courteous to other people. Sometimes we can turn people away from Christ just by the way we conduct ourselves. And by having a courteous nature of ourselves, it presents the gospel in a better way, sheds a better light upon the truth of God's word, and it helps us to spread that gospel. We've talked a lot about that this morning in spreading the gospel. But you can take that gospel out and fail to be courteous in the way you conduct yourself and you present the gospel, and you will turn people away. So I believe that there's a great lesson in this. There's a model for us in Christian courtesy. But we also see that Christian love is also shown in this book in the New Testament. God's people should be known for the love that they have for one another. The love that we have for the church, the love that we have for the cause of Christ, the love that we have for the Bible, the Word of God, that love should be able to be seen in our lives. It's not something that we just talk about and tell people that we have. I've seen letters written in the past by people who the first phrase is, "I'm writing this because I love you." But then as you go into the letter, you see, well, there's not much courtesy and the love's not really being shown. Well, it's not something that we just say. It's something that people can see. I've always said that should be the badge of a Christian. You know, a police officer knocks on a door and says, "Open the door in the name of the law." He has the authority to be there because of that badge that is on his shirt or his coat. Well, the badge of a Christian should be love. The people should be able to see that in our lives, and hopefully they see it in your life, along with the courtesy that we see shown in this book in the New Testament. And then we also see the monument of Christian conversion. I believe in this lesson we see the power of the gospel and what the gospel can do for people. We talk about how wicked the world is. We talk about how terrible the community may be. We talk about how terrible terrorists are and the problems that we have in the world. And we talk about the immorals that are the morality, a lack of morality that's in the world today. The only thing that can change that is the gospel of Christ. And when we take that gospel into the world, it will change people. It's changed us. I mean, look at us. Where would you be if it wasn't for the gospel of Christ? I've often wondered what would happen to me or to any of us if it wasn't for what the Bible teaches and applying it in my life. If I hadn't had it in my life, then where would I be? So we can see the change the gospel makes in your life. Hopefully you've seen it and you want to see it in others. So you encourage them to obey the gospel. This book is a book that Paul wrote to Philemon, and it is the shortest of all of Paul's letters. It's quite possible that Paul had written many other letters, personal letters. But God saw fit that we have this letter. And I believe it's there for many different reasons. And in this lesson, hopefully we will see, as we take a brief look at this book, that it is a unique letter. We see that the author, or know that the author, is Paul. And that's clearly indicated when we look at several verses in the chapter, in this book. Verse 1, verse 9, and verse 19 specifically indicate that Paul wrote this letter. The time and the place of this writing, if you carefully compare this epistle to the one that was written in Colossians, or the Colossae letter, it is clear that both were written at about the same time. And from the same place. Like the Colossian epistle, the epistle to Philemon was written while Paul was in chains, according to to verse 1, verse 10, verse 13, verse 23, and then Colossians chapter 4 and verse 18. In this book, we see that Timothy joined Paul, as he did in the epistle that was written, or in the Colossian epistle that we read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. We find many of the same people that are mentioned in this chapter, or in this book, that are mentioned in Colossians. Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, all join in the salutations in both letters. We also see that in this letter, one of the characters is Onesimus. And we find that Onesimus was used by Paul in other occasions. We find in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, that he was a messenger that delivered the message to of the Colossian letter to them. So we know that Onesimus was someone that was used by Paul, and he was beneficial to Paul after he became a child of God. In the epistle to Philemon, if it was written at about the time the Colossian letter was written, and the other prison epistles, which were Ephesians and Philippians, then it was written during that time that is mentioned in Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 31. And it would have taken place during the year of 61 or 63 A.D. So that's some of the background that we have and some of the comparisons that we can make to other letters that Paul has written. And we see individuals that are listed in those books. And I believe it's always interesting to compare letters and to compare writings so that you can see how each individual presents the word that God told them to do. They didn't write what they wanted. They were inspired by God. They wrote what they were guided by the Holy Spirit to write. But they used their own way or their own language to write it in, their own style. And that's why you can see a difference in the writing of Peter and the writings of Paul and the writings of James. But they wrote what God wanted written. The main characters in this book of Philemon, obviously Philemon would be one of them. Evidently, Philemon was a man of wealth and standing in the city. Most likely, he was a member of the church at Colossae. We find that he was a very hospitable person, much like we should be if we're a Christian. When we talk about wealth, we talked about that this morning. I think that we need to be reminded that there is no sin in being wealthy. But we also need to realize, and it should be pointed out, that many times wealth can cause us to fall into a trap that the devil sets for us. It's very easy for us to put our trust in that money or those possessions that we have. But listen to what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning in verse 17, it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." There we see the purpose of the riches that we have. Nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing wrong with having wealth. But if we have riches, if we have that wealth, then we need to be willing to use it for the cause of Christ. God's blessed us with it. We need to use it for Him. And that's what Paul is encouraging Timothy to teach others. And that's what we need to understand today. As we know we are the wealthiest nation in the world, God's blessed us. What do we do with it? How do we use it? We use it to glorify God. Well, it seems apparent that Philemon was an individual who did that. He showed hospitality. He had the church, it seems, that met in his own house. And it's possible that he was one of Paul's own converts, as we see in verse 19. Another individual in this chapter, Apphia, was possibly the wife of Philemon. That's what most believe. And then there was Crispus, get it out here in a minute, who was thought to be Philemon's son. And then there was Onesimus, a runaway slave that Philemon had. He had been one of Philemon's slaves, according to verse 16, who had run away according to verse 15. Somehow in his running away, he had traveled from Colossae to Rome. And there he found Paul. And Paul shows us that the gospel's for everyone. I'm sure that there would be some that when they would see that he was a slave, wouldn't have anything to do with him. But Paul realized that there was a soul, and that's what we need to realize. No matter how rich, how poor, the color of anyone's skin, they have a soul that needs to be saved. And hopefully that's one thing that we have seen as we've been looking at the moments with Jesus that we've been talking about on Sunday morning for the last several weeks. There are individuals that are out there that had souls, and Jesus realized that. And he showed the compassion, and he showed love. He was stern. He didn't condone their sin, but we see that he realized that they had a soul when others perhaps didn't care. We need to realize how important it is to preach the gospel to those that are lost. On the occasion of this letter, we see that Paul did not think that it was right to keep Onesimus with him in Rome. Even though Onesimus had been a benefit to him and helpful to him, he was therefore sending him back to Philemon. And this letter to Philemon is an appeal by Paul to receive Onesimus back and now receive him back as a brother in Christ. He encourages Philemon to forgive him for any wrong that he has committed. So with all those thoughts in mind, we'll have Ben read the entire chapter for us at this time.
Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord, Jesus, and toward all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by thy acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, and I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with your spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Ben. If you wanted to make an outline of this chapter, the first three verses, we find there Paul's greetings to those that the letter is addressed to. And then verses 4 through 7, we see that Paul is expressing his gratitude or thanksgiving and prayer for Philemon. We see that quite often with the writings that Paul has. He's thankful for the brethren. He's thankful for those that he has helped and those that have helped him. I believe we always need to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Many times we take our brothers and sisters for Christ for granted, but we need to realize how important it is that we be the family of God that God expects us to be. And when we are what we are supposed to be, then we need to express that love by telling others that we're thankful for them. In verses 8 through 21, we see in those verses the plea that Paul has in behalf of Onesimus. And verses 22 through 25, we see Paul's concluding remarks. As we read this passage, there are some things that stand out, at least in my mind, and things that we'll look at next week that I believe even helps us to understand it even more. But what can we learn as we study the book of Philemon? Well, first of all, I think that we should be impressed with the love and hospitality that characterized the early Christians. We live in a society many times that, I don't know, I guess if you're, it's kind of a tough society. Do it yourself. Work it out your own way. You figure it out. I'm on my own. I want to do what I want to do. But in the early church, we see that they were knit together. They worked together. They were family. When one suffered, they all suffered. And I think that we can see the hospitality here in the fact that Philemon opened his house for the church to meet. This is not the only occasion in the New Testament where we find where saints met in Christians' houses, or they met in their own houses. In Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, we also find an example where Priscilla and Aquila, they were helpers of Christ. And in verse 4 of that chapter it says, "Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles likewise greet the church that is in their house." Aquila and Priscilla had risked their lives on occasion for Paul. And I'm sure that they probably risked their lives for others. Why? Because they have a love for Christ, and by having a love for Christ, they had a love for His people. In Acts, the second chapter, we find an example where those that had needs were taken care of. Those needs were taken care of by people giving and sharing the things that they had. We find in Acts chapter 4 where Barnabas is an example of someone who gave. And then in chapter 5, we have the example of Ananias and Sapphira. But we see where people were giving to help those that were in need, giving it to the church. They loved people. They loved the Lord. They loved His people. Do we see that kind of love today? I believe that we do. I believe in most cases we see a lot of love. But in some cases, our love could be improved on, worked on. For the most part, I know that if there was a need that I had, the first people that I know would take care of that need would be the church. So I think that the world needs to see that love. But in this particular case, we see the hospitality that they had. They opened their home for the church. Another example is in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, and verse 19, where it says there that the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. We see also in this chapter, in verse 5, that Philemon had love for all the saints. I'm always impressed when I visit a congregation. Many times it's a congregation that I've never been to. And they don't always know that I'm a preacher. Sometimes I know preachers get different reactions than other people. But I have never felt unwanted. I've always felt like I was a part of the family in all the congregations that I've visited. There's only a couple that I remember going to. One, we hadn't done our research well enough. We got there and they had a piano, so we left. And another one I remember we went to and they weren't very friendly. But for the most part, we're still the last ones to leave even when we visit. Why? Because people make us feel welcome. People show their love. And you feel like you know them. Why? You've never met them. Because you have something in common. The gospel of Christ. How many other places would you go and sit down and sing? How many other places would you go and sit down and sing praises to God? God's people can do that. Why? Because we have that love. We have that bond. And that's something that's good, and we need to see that. And we need to let the world see that. I believe the worst thing that has happened in the religious world today is the division that is out there, because it's turned people away. And we are supposed to be known for our unity. The Bible talks about that unity. And the religious world shows division. We don't want to be a part of that division. Years ago, I remember when we talked about the church, it was the distinctive nature of the church. What made us different? And what made us different was the fact that we went by what the Bible taught. We called Bible things by Bible names. We did things only if we had the authority found in the Bible to do it. That's the scary part today, that there's so many in the church that don't want to follow that pattern. But it's that pattern that pulls people together. And we'll end up saving our souls if we're faithful to that cause all of our lives. But we see Philemon had love for all the saints. We also see in verse 7, it says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." That word brother there is a more affectionate word than it sounds. They were close. They had a love for each other, again, that was pulled together through the bond of the gospel of Christ. It's refreshing to hear people come and give reports about work that is taking place in other areas. I don't know about you, but I'm refreshed. I feel good when I hear those things. Breaks my heart when I hear bad news, but when I hear the good news, when I hear people that are obeying the gospel and the kingdom is being broadened, it refreshes me. Hope it refreshes you. It should. Should want us to help us to get involved. And I believe the same thing is true with Paul. He was refreshed when he heard the good things that were taking place with Philemon and others that he cared about in other epistles that he had written. When he refreshed, that means that he encouraged. And he encouraged them by the works that he did and the gifts that he was able to bestow upon them, the talents that he had and he used to help the church that met in his home. Verse 22, we find that Paul could depend upon him for lodging, for a place to stay. He hoped to go to that place, Philemon's location, and he hoped that Philemon would prepare him a place for when he came to stay at his house. Good to have people like that you know that you depend upon that take care of you. Certainly, I believe that Philemon is an example worthy of imitation. But we also learn in this lesson, or in this book, we learn to deal tactfully with others. In verses 8 and 9 it says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." What Paul is saying is, I have the power or the ability to command you to do this. But as opposed to commanding you to do this, I'm going to beseech you, as the King James says, the New King James says, appeal to you. In other words, because of the love that he had, the concern that he had, he felt he could trust Philemon, that he didn't have to command him, that he could appeal to him, encourage him to do the right thing. And I believe that that's a lot of times what we need to do with people. We need to encourage them to do the right thing. I said there are times that we can take God's word to people and we can beat them ahead with it. We're not there because we love them. We're there because we want to hurt them, or we want to drive the point home. But I believe that there are times that we could go to people and we could beseech them. We could appeal to them. We could encourage them to do what is right, and we would have a greater impact on their life to get them to change, to do what's right. Those that have fallen away from the church sometimes need to be beseeched, need to be appealed to. They need to see the love that we have. Again, going to their house, sitting down in the living room and saying, "I'm here because I love you." Well, how you conduct yourself after you're there may show something else. So if you're there because you love them, they need to be able to see that in your life. They need to see it in your words. They need to see it in your actions. We also see in verse 10, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." If you read that totally in the contact text, verses 8 through 9, we find there that subject of Onesimus, the appeal that he made, the beseeching that he made, was a gradual thing. If you look it up in the Greek, the word Onesimus is the last word in the sentence. In other words, he said that, "I could command you to do this, but I'm going to appeal to you to do this," and then he points out what he would like for him to do. He wasn't beating around the bush. He was getting to the point, but he was appealing based on the love that he had for Philemon and Onesimus. He refused to compel Philemon to let him retain Onesimus in Rome, so he sent him back, as it says in Philemon chapter 12, or verse 12 through 14. We find in verses 18 through 19, he says, "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides." Here we find that Paul was willing to pay the price for what Onesimus had done. He had run away. Some believe that maybe he had taken something when he left, perhaps money. But whatever it was, if there was something that was going to stand or hamper that relationship that would cause Philemon to reject taking Onesimus back, Paul says, "I'm willing to pay the price." How many of us are willing to pay the price to get people back together? I think that we can see the love that Paul has for these brethren. And I think because we can see that love that Paul has for these brethren, we can see the love that the brethren had for each other. That's why it's so important that we be a good influence. Because when people see the love that you have, it will have an impact on them and hopefully encourage them to have a love for each other. Paul believes in the goodness of Philemon. In verse 21 it says, "Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." What attitude does Paul have with Philemon? Paul says, "I'm confident that you're going to do what I've requested." And not only am I confident that you're going to do what I've requested, I'm confident that you're going to go beyond what I've requested. That's what Paul says. He's not suspicious. You know, sometimes in our society, it's very easy for us to be suspicious of people. And when they say they're going to do something, we really don't trust them. We want to make sure that they prove themselves. And sometimes after they prove themselves once, well, we're still not sure. We want them to prove themselves again. I think that we see here the confidence that Paul had in Philemon, that he was going to do what he was appealing to him to do. And then goes on to say, "I'm coming to your house. Have a place ready for me." So many times we let little problems turn into major problems, which many times affect the church, which many times causes the congregation to split instead of working them out the way God wants us to work them out. Paul had confidence in Philemon, I'm sure it was not easy for Onesimus to go back, but in that relationship that he had, even though we don't like slavery, even in that particular case, he was bound to go back to fulfill his obligation that he had before he became a Christian. But now that he is a child of God, that relationship that he could have with Philemon was different. Because now, not only was it master-slave relationship, but it was brothers in Christ. That's the relationship they were supposed to have and should have. I believe Paul looks at it as the providence of God, that because Onesimus had run away, he'd got away, but he also was able to come in contact with Paul. He was able to hear the gospel. He was able to obey that gospel. He was able to be beneficial to the cause of Christ. Now he was going back to fulfill his obligation that he had for that relationship. That's what the gospel can do for us. That's what it can do to people today. And from both the example of Paul and Philemon, there is much that we can glean from this short letter that Paul has written. We see Philemon as a model of Christian hospitality. We see Paul as a model for Christian courtesy, something that we need in the church today. Hopefully we see it in your life, you see it in my life. And hopefully, just this short lesson will encourage you to dig deeper into Philemon and learn all that you can from him or from the letters that Paul has written. The last verse of Philemon says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit." The question I ask today, are you living in such a way to allow the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to be in you? If you're not a Christian, that grace is not in you. Tonight you can become a child of God by doing the things that Jesus says you must do. When he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," tonight you put your faith in God, turn away from your sin, confess the name of Christ, and be buried with him in baptism to rise up to walk in newness of life. Perhaps you are a Christian. Perhaps you're running away. Onesimus ran away. Sometimes we run away from the sin that we have in our lives, and instead of taking care of it like we should, we run away from it. We figure if we can get far enough away from it, it'll leave us and we won't have to worry about it. The problem is, sin will always be there until it's blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. How do we have that done as a Christian? Well, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we know that his blood continually cleanses us. So if we get out of that light, if we're not walking as we should, then we have to repent. We have to confess that sin and ask God's forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, and that blood will cleanse us from that sin. So if you are a Christian and you have sin in your life that you need to repent of, do it tonight. Don't wait till it's too late. If you need to respond to the invitation, please do so while we stand and sing.